We have, some of us, experienced tragedy and pain, despair, disillusionment, some of us, heartache, betrayal. We've been there. We've been here, pouring salt tears over cold stone. We've been here, some of us. And even if we have not ourselves been here, we know those who have. And we are capable of empathy. We have hearts. And so we weep with them out of our love. Even in dark despair, always something sings. But don't skip ahead, friends, to the singing, I mean. For death of people and those other deaths, dead courage, dead caring, dead hope, dead will, dead faith, dead vision, we have been there. We know those who have been there. This is real. It's no illusion. Welcome back from sabbatical, Matthew. What'd you bring me? Well, here's a picture of a weeping angel. How does that? It's not exactly, you know, bunnies and tulips, is it? A warm welcome back. Here's the deal, folks. We have something important to say. Something important to live for. Something important to do. And we're not going to accomplish that with saccharine spirituality or Potemkin theology. I return to you now with a clearer sense of mission for this church and my ministry and our faith. We exist to transform inhumanity into love. To transform inhumanity into love. That's the mission. So first, take inhumanity head on. Don't shy away. Don't pretend that death isn't real, that violence and abuse and tragedy is fake or only in our head. Open your heart to the presence of absence. Let the salt pour upon the stone. We are Unitarians, and that means that we believe in the unity of all things, that divinity, that sacredness is present everywhere, and that it is one. So the holy is found in goodness and in pain and in the everyday world. And we are Universalists. And that means that we are brothers and sisters, all of us, the whole world. And there is no division. There is no saved and damned. We do not cast off what we don't like. We don't cast off people who make us uncomfortable. We don't say, well, if you suffer, then you must not be blessed. We don't say that. No, with Emerson, whose words were the choral anthem, we say that the music of the holy resounds in every moment and every place. It is not only in the rose. It is not only in the bird, not only where the rainbow glows, nor in the song of woman heard, but in the darkest, meanest things, there always, always something sings. I've heard the Easter story told this way. There was a guy, Jesus, and who taught and stuff, and then, you know, he died. But it's okay, because he rose from the dead and talked to people and stuff. You ever heard it told that way? Today, we celebrate spring because nowadays, we can go out and about, and it's not so cold, and the flowers come up. Isn't that nice? Our ancestors celebrated spring because during the winter, people died from the cold, from hunger and illness, the elders and the children. Spring was the coming of life again after a time of death. Passover sometimes becomes, oh, interesting food. What is that on the plate? But the Haggadah reminds us, the story tells us, that this is about the pain of slavery, the blood of oppression, and the blood of redemption, too. Freedom is not cheaply won. And it took great sorrow to propel the movement of people across the desert. So this is Emerson's point, and mine. There always something sings. That in the human heart and in creation itself, there is a spark of divinity, a power of humanity, a soul. And that even in the darkest hour, that cannot be extinguished, not completely. And this truth that we are each holy, that the song of the angels and the earth sounds everywhere, this truth calls us, inspires us, demands of us the work of love, the labor of transformation, the life of service. In the last year or so, I've talked with 4 or 5 women who are getting a divorce. These women are friends and colleagues I know all across the country. Some are in their 30s, and some in their 40s, and some in their 60s. Each has been through the valley of death in their marriage. They worked, they tried, they bore the weight, they counseled, and they tried interventions, and there was struggle and pain and worry. And eventually, they said, no, this thing that was once alive has died. It is dead. And there was grief for that loss, weeping and sorrow. But only then, only when they could say that what was once alive is now dead, only then could they step outside and smell the spring mud of the earth, the opening of the buds of life, and begin again. Only then could they be resurrected. And I see it in them. Some of them are farther along in this process than others, but I see in each of them a new life. Like the person who is buried under the weight of excessive duty, who is confined to a single role, has left the tomb and walks now in the world as their real self. None did this on a whim, and none took it lightly. The pain was real. If you knew their stories, you would understand. A new life isn't always easy, especially for the ones with young children, but they are now able to hear their own song and to join the chorus. They have come to life. The point here is not to say, everyone get a divorce. The point is to say, you have a soul, and that soul has a song. And if your circumstances mean that you can't hear the song, then in some way, change your circumstances. Maybe you need to recommit to your marriage, change it for the better. Maybe you need to change jobs or get better at the one that you have. Maybe you need to join the choir and sing. Maybe you need to do some gardening or pick up a paintbrush and start making some art. If you feel dead, then bury that deadness and come alive again to a new world. If you feel lost, then plant your feet, lift your eyes, and find yourself. If you feel cold, then stoke the fire that burns within. Victoria Safford says that if the word miracle doesn't work for you, you can use unexpected or surprising or just lucky. That's fine. Miracle works for me. It's a word I can use. Sometimes I'll tell you I feel what Safford calls our slow blood. Our slow blood. Just tired and spent. I don't want to work. I don't want to parent. I don't want to transform the world from inhumanity to love. Screw it. Sometimes I feel like I carry the world on my shoulders, and if I don't do it, then nobody will, and I don't want to. Do you ever feel like this? I knew I wasn't alone. I felt that slow blood, that dead will, dead vision. What I do when I get to that spot, what I try to do when I get to that spot is first to take a little time to be dead. Do something that doesn't serve the world in any way whatsoever, or do nothing. Sometimes for just 5 minutes, sometimes for half a day. And then inevitably, something pulls me back to life. Always something sings. The love of my family or my friends. Recently, it's often been my friends, a sympathetic ear, a good joke, a shared rage at injustice, or a sense of perspective, a glass of ale and a plate of food, a conversation, a hug. Or perhaps it is that still small voice within, the song persistent, a memory. For me, the memory of my call into ministry or the time when the Spirit of love filled me up with power and presence and I resolved to live fully. So get up and get going. I made a promise. Sometimes what gets me out of my funk is my deep sorrow. It's true. My sense of what is broken in the world and in the lives of those I love, you among them. And my sense that in the face of this, withdrawal is not loving, and that I have something to contribute to a world with more beauty and justice. So breathe in and breathe out and get up, rise up. We have felt our own slow blood stir in the vein like maple sap. And something very small and tight within began to swell and open up, urgent, imperceptible at first, then undeniable. Love lives again that with the dead has been. What about you? When you feel dead in some way, dead courage, dead vision, dead will, can you face the death and bury what no longer lives? Can you weep for it and then let it go? Can you then resurrect, rise again to a new you? I know that some of you have done exactly that. I look at you and I know that you've been down to the bottom of the well of tears, and that you mourn for what is no more, and then you rose from the dust and came alive to make the world blossom. It can be done. You can do it. You must do it. I am clear now about our mission to transform our world from inhumanity to love. That is what we are for. And that work, we will have to rise from the dead to do it. Dead courage is understandable in a world that thwarts every act for good, in a world so complicated we don't know where to begin or what to do. Dead courage is understandable, but it will not do. It will not serve love and hope, so bury it and come back to life. Dead vision, I totally get it. The problems of our own individual lives and our common life seem so big. Why dream big dreams when they might not come true? But I tell you, dead vision will not do. We need a living vision for our time. A North Star to guide our journey, to compel us to hear the music and make it dance, to bury what is dead and then come back to life. Dead caring? Sure. So much pain, ours and others, it's hard to hold it all. But that's the mistake. We don't have to hold the pain. We have to love those in pain. It's different. And the difference is the difference between death and life. We are Unitarian Universalists, and we believe that the holy is one and that all are brothers and sisters. And we believe that the song of the soul sings in every heart. It dances in every footstep. We do not outsource the work of transformation to someone else. Jesus rising from the dead, this ancient, mysterious story, it does not mean that we don't have to, that he did it for us and so we are off the hook. We don't think that's what it means. It is instead an invitation, a summons to do the same. My colleague Victoria Weinstein wrote these words about Easter, which I read earlier this week, and they so struck me to the core about what we're about this day that I want to share them with you. She wrote, "The stone has got to be rolled back from the tomb again and again every year. Roll up your sleeves. He's not coming back, you know. He's not coming back unless it is we who rise for him. We who lay healing hands on the reviled and the rejected like he did on his behalf. We who rage for righteousness in his insistent voice. We who love the sinner, even knowing that the sinner is no farther off than our own heartbeat. He will not be back to join us at the table to share God's extravagant banquet, God's love feast. All are invited, come as you are. And so it is you and I who must feast for him, must say the grace and break the bread and pass it to the left and dish up the broiled fish or pour the wine and pass it to the right. And treat each one so tenderly, as though just this morning she or he made the personal effort to make it back from heaven or from hell, but certainly from death to be by our side. Because if by some miracle, and why not, a miracle, he did come back, wouldn't he want to see us like this? Wouldn't it be a miracle to live for just one day so that if he did, by some amazing feat, come riding into town, he could take a look around and say, this is what I meant. And we could say, it took us a long time, but we finally figured it out. Oh, let us live to make it so. You are the resurrection and the life." Her words just, that's what we're about. That's what we're about. Who is the resurrection and the life? We are. Life is. When we rise from dead caring to powerful love, when we rise from stifling conformity to sing our own song, when the buds open and the mud squelches, when we do not give up, but join it together to live well and justly and struggle and hope, then we are the resurrection and the life. Maybe it's your own life that needs some resurrection. Your work, your social life, your health, your family. It's been dead and dying too long. And it's time. It's time to make a new start and give birth to a new you. You want to know the most important thing you can do to transform in humanity into love? Transform yourself. Come alive. Sing out and hear the song of your soul. Maybe your own life is in pretty good shape. A little tinkering here and there is perhaps called for, but really you're mostly fine. Great. Wonderful. The world needs resurrection. So roll up your sleeves and move the rock. We've got poverty and despair, pollution and violence, but we can make it better. We can work, we can organize, we can be generous, and we can make it better. Every day, people do. They do. Our problems in our own life or in the world might seem sometimes intractable and insurmountable, but they are not. Let go of what is dead and come alive. Open your heart, open your hands, and open your eyes. You can become yourself. The world each day can be loved into more beauty. Miracles, they happen every day. Resurrection, whenever we get up and begin anew. Always something sings. Yes, yes it does. In each heart, in each soul, in the flowers of the field and the blowing of the wind, in the darkest despair and in the greatest beauty, the Spirit sings and calls us to life and to love. Come alive. Come alive. Let us